Welcome back to the website. I'm glad you're taking time to listen to this next series. The title of it is called Call to Me. It's based on Jeremiah 33 verses 1 through 3. And I believe it's going to encourage you and help you understand that the Lord is wanting us to call on Him about everything and about every situation and anything that concerns me, concerns God. And He's willing and ready and sitting there to listen to me cry out to Him. And He says, if you just call me, I'll answer. Call me. How many times do we sit around and we pick up the phone and we call our relatives, we call our mom, we call our best friends, we call our business associates, we call into the office, we call, you know, businesses to check on products and times that the store is open, and we can pick up that phone and call anywhere, anytime, any place in the world, and we don't hesitate. If that's what we want to do, we do it. But how many times do we not sit down, get before the Lord, and just call Him? It doesn't cost you a thing. It may cost you time. It may cost you your own thoughts and your own plans and how you thought you're going to work out a situation. But it will not cost you anything but blessings and answers and directions and insight. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of insight. I know that in my own life right now, I'm looking at some major decisions that I need to make in regards to my future, to my destiny, and the plans that I know the Lord has for my life. I can't sit around and think of things up on my own. I've got to get the mind of Christ on it. And I think that's what Jeremiah is talking about here in verse 3 of chapter 33. When we look in the Amplified, I really like to read that verse in the Amplified Bible, and it reads like this: call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, and understand. I think that pretty much says it sometimes, because if we did understand what it meant, and if we did recognize it, and if we could distinguish what the answer was, we wouldn't have to call out to Him. But many times it's right before us, and we don't always comprehend what the Lord is saying. And that's what He says: call me. Just call me. I'm wanting to show you things, and I think that it's really encouraging as you look at this to think about where poor Jeremiah was. He wasn't sitting in the palace. He wasn't sitting somewhere in a place of authority, in a position where he could really, you know, have the word coming in and out to him. He was sitting in prison. He was right there shut up in prison. And that tells me that there wasn't a prison wall, there wasn't a prison door, and there wasn't a prison guard that could keep the word of God from coming to Jeremiah. No matter where you think you are, no matter how imprisoned you think you are in your relationships, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in just life itself, the Lord's wanting you to be encouraged and understand that He's well able to get that word to you. It will not and cannot be kept from you if you just call on Him, because that's the one thing He wants to do, is to communicate with us. He wants to give us the answers. He already knows what the answer is. And it's not like He's being cruel that He's just waiting for us to have questions. It's all about the working out of God's will in our life. And it's a two-way communication. I think it's great to know that no matter where we are, that and where we're sitting, no matter how much we feel shut up and how far removed we feel from the answer that the Lord has for a situation in our life, it's not true. God is only a prayer away. He is only one conversation away from us. He's always with us. He never leaves us. He says in His word that He'll never leave us or forsake us, but it still takes a two-way street for communication. I can only imagine being in a marriage where you had no communication. That would be the most boring relationship I can think of. I couldn't imagine being in a relationship with who I think would be my best friend, and we never talked and shared intimate stories or ideas or feelings where they could, you just have a sounding board. I can't imagine that. That would be so incredible, so boring to me. But when you think about calling on the Lord, He never sleeps, so He's always going to answer. He's not tied up and so busy that He's going to have to get back with you. You're not going to get voicemail. He's not going to put you on hold. He's not going to transfer you to the wrong department or to the wrong person to talk to. He's it. He answers. He's there. He picks up on every call. He's not, you know, so overwhelmed that he's got to, you know, call you back a week from Tuesday. Thank God that he doesn't. I am so glad that whenever I call upon his name, he hears me. And I think it's great to know that. And it's encouraging to know that you can be in prison and he's still going to listen and he's still going to send his word. And he does have a word for you. You're sitting there, and I know many of you that are listening to this recording, you're just overwhelmed with the cares of the world. And you feel like no one cares, and you feel like no one understands, and you feel like no one's there, and you feel like if you tell one more person and they don't have an answer, that you just won't be able to handle it. And you know what? People don't have the answer. The only one that has the answer is the Lord. And Jeremiah was no different than we are about our situations. Bless his heart. I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Jeremiah, but he's just one sad dude half the time. Whenever God's talking to him about nations and about the people around him, it's pretty hard for him to deliver the word of the Lord. I mean, not everything was all going to be a bed of roses, and not everything was going to be great. I mean, there was some judgment in the things that he said. He was the weeping prophet. I mean, I can totally understand why he sat around and he wept, because he knew that God had better plans for the people, but they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't heed and they wouldn't stop long enough to get the mind of Christ. You know, I can so relate to Jeremiah. I don't know about you, but I can so relate to Jeremiah. As I think about him being in prison and still being able to hear from the Lord, I think it's kind of neat that the Lord's saying that, you know, again, there's not a wall, there's not a door, and there's not a guard that can keep the word of the Lord from us. There's not a devil, there's not a demon, there's no fiery darts, there's no scheme and plot of the evil one that can keep God from getting what he wants to us. There's just no way that it won't be able to get through to us, because God is God. And that's what I want to leave with you today as we're talking and we're thinking and we're looking at the scriptures here in Jeremiah, that there's nothing too hard for him. There's not an enemy that's bigger than our God. There's not a circumstance that is beyond his ability to change. There's nothing too difficult for our God. As we look in Jeremiah 32, verse 26, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Absolutely not. I don't care what you're facing in your life. I don't care what it is. The word of God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And his word does not return void." And it says here, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Are you flesh? Is there anything about you that's flesh? Can you pinch yourself and are you still alive? Of course you are. And the Lord says that I am the God of your flesh and everybody's flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there's not anything too hard for our God. If you look on up a few scriptures ahead of this, starting in verse, let's look. Maybe at verse 17, it says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquities of the father into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and in Israel and among other men. And you have made yourself a name as it is this day." I love that. The Lord has made himself a name, and his name is God Almighty. He is the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts. I love the fact that he is great in counsel. He is great in his mighty workings. And that's what he was doing here for Jeremiah. In the midst of being in prison, the very place that the enemy thought that they were able to keep the word out and to keep the word shut up inside of Jeremiah was the very place of contact between the Lord and his man, between heaven and earth. It met right there in prison, shut up, away from the world, where nobody thought that anything could get to Jeremiah, yet the word of the Lord was able to penetrate the very walls of the prison, and the prisons cannot keep God out of your life either. Those things that are holding you back, the things that you feel like you're in bondage to, they can fall off if you'll call to Him. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. There are so much that God wants to do in your life. There are so many ways that He can set you free and break off the shackles of your life. If you're in bondage to alcoholism, if you are at all in bondage to drugs, to sex, to pornography, to prostitution, to lying, to cheating, to adultery, to just being depressed, the Lord says, I can set you free. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. I am so excited about the fact that God is God and that there's nothing, absolutely nothing that's too difficult for Him. Well, moving on, as we're thinking about Jeremiah, we've got to understand that even though the word was trying to be shut up and shut off from him, it penetrated. It came through. It came in. It came out. It came around, and it came all about Jeremiah. And that's what God does. Man, there's nothing too high. There's no wall of separation between you and your spouse if you're having marital problems. There's nothing that's so high that God can't penetrate and come over and intervene in that relationship. There's nothing too difficult for God when it comes to your finances. There's nothing too hard for Him when it's time for you to call to Him and you need a job and you need the taxes paid this year. You know, we're coming up on our taxes needing to be paid by the 15th of April. Some of you don't have the money and you're sitting there going, what am I going to do? Right here, Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Now, sometimes when we're expecting an answer from God, we haven't done everything we were supposed to. And it's not that you got to make a deal with God. It's not like you got to have collateral to make these exchanges. God does it anyway. I just sit in awe at how willing He is to move on the behalf of His children. I just think that's incredible. But I think about how I am about my children and my grandchildren. I can't stand where they're in need of something and I have the means or the resource to help them. What kind of mother and grandmother would I be if I just said, you know what, kids, you're on your own. You know, I don't have time to babysit. I don't have time to listen to your whiny self today. I mean, what kind of mother would I be? My Father, my Heavenly Father is not like that. He wants to hear what my concerns are. He wants me to petition Him and to make requests and come and knock and keep coming back and just thanking Him that He is my resource. He is my source. He's everything that I need. And that's the way I can be, even in the natural, for my children. The Word says, if you need bread, do you come and give your child a stone when he's asking for bread? Do you give him something to eat, meat and fish and whatever other substance he's asking for, and you give him a serpent? No, that's not the way we are, even in the natural. Neither is our Heavenly Father. He is willing, and He's wanting to do exceedingly above all that we can ask, hope, or even think. And that's what I thought was so encouraging about Jeremiah. Here he sits, and he's just, you know, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of that? And the Lord says, you know what? Call to me. Call to me. That's all I'm waiting for, is for you to pick up the phone in the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, through prayer of intercession, prayer of petition, just prayer of praise. Pick up the phone and begin to talk to me and let me know what you need. Now, is that because God doesn't have a clue? Yes, He has a clue. But sometimes He needs you to really hear what you need. Sometimes we start out asking God for things that we think we need. And before it's over, you know, and the whole list is down to the bottom, and you get to the very bottom of the list of what you've been asking for, and you realize, oh, Father, really what I wanted to talk to you about. The thing that has been on my heart the most is this one thing. And you finally sum it up to what you really wanted to talk to him about. And that's the beauty of it, that he goes through and he knows your heart and the Holy Spirit is moved by our infirmities and he kind of shifts and changes the prayer around, you know, like his ministry is to help us, because sometimes we don't know what to say or how to act or what to do, and the Holy Spirit just there is to walk along to teach us and to fix some of our messes and then to reveal the truth to us so that we can, you know, once we know the truth and we walk in the truth and we can be free. You know, I just so love the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that he's a part of my life and the part of the Godhead that guides us into all truth. And that's what happens when we're praying and we mess up and we're not sure what to pray. Now, there's no excuse to pray amiss. You know, in the book of James, it talks about, you know, you have not because you ask not. And then sometimes you have because you ask and you totally missed it. And that's because sometimes we pray selfishly. We kind of get sidetracked and we kind of get all holy in our prayers and we think that if we say just the right thing and use the these and thous of the, you know, the old King James, that makes us holy and somehow God's going to listen to us. I think he's a little bit more hip than that. You know, I think he really is way more current with what's going on in 2006 than what we give him credit for. He knows, he understands. He's, you know, it's like the other day I was laughing and thinking about complimenting somebody, and I was telling him, and it made me think of the teenagers, that really what he had done and accomplished with his website was really what the teenagers call tight. You know, it's so funny because God knows exactly what that means. I was driving the other day and I was in another car and it was pretty sharp and it was one of my kids' car, and well, it's been a while actually. And the kid that was, he was a young man, probably 20, 21, something like that. And he was filling up his gas tank with gas. And he's looking over at the vehicle I was in. And he was thinking, man, that's pretty sharp. And I could tell by, you know, the way he was looking, he was checking out the wheels and all that stuff. And I turned around and looked at him. I said, pretty tight for grandma, isn't it? And he just died laughing. He just thought that was so funny. And he said, yes, ma'am, it is. He said, that's tight. That's a tight ride. And I got tickled and I thought, you know, it's the same thing with our Father. He's very aware of what's, you know, what we mean when we pray. And he knows if we mean what we pray. I think it's okay. God's hip. You don't have to worry about getting everything just right. It doesn't have to be all religious and all full of a lot of, you know, fluff and stuff. Honestly, I think God's just as sick and tired of fluff and stuff as we are. I watch so much fluff and stuff in the church that I just wonder sometimes, God, why do you even bother to come? You know, most of the times I don't want to go. Now, where I'm at lately in the body of believers that I'm with right now, I'm telling you, I'm hearing the word, I'm seeing the Lord move, and it's a great, you know, it's a great place to be, so I don't want to, they know who I am, so I don't want them to be listening and thinking I'm talking about the church that I'm in right now. But I'm talking about over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years as I've sought and tried to find the place that the Lord has put me in. I've seen a lot over the 40-something years I've been serving the Lord. But really, you know, we have so much junk out there. We have so much heresy in the church. We've got so much double-mindedness in the church. And I think it's because we're not taking time to call to me, as this scripture says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. I think that the body of Christ has got to come to a place that we're calling to the Lord and saying, God, what do you want in your house? How do you want us to run your business? How do you want us to minister? What kind of outreach do you want us to have? Lord, how do we get out of the four walls of our church? Lord, how do we really get into relationships with one another? How do we just break and fellowship and have bread with one another without getting all churchy? I don't know about you, but I am tired of being churched. You know, I believe in the body of Christ. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in the church, and I know that we're to come together and assemble ourselves. And it, even more so in these last days. But I tell you, God's tired of the fluff and stuff. He's looking for the real people of God, the remnant of God that are willing to humble themselves before his face and begin to just pray and call out to him for the mindset of the living God, and that we will get the strategy of what He's wanting to do in these last days and how we can bring into the kingdom. Instead of us being in prison, He's wanting to bring us out of prison. Like Isaiah 53, He really wants to set us free to help those that are in need, that are hungry, that are blind, that are downtrodden, that are depressed, and that are in bondage. We've got to get to the place that we're calling to Him and finding out what He wants to answer. Sometimes I think that God has questions within us that have been put there by the Holy Spirit for us to even be able to say it to Him so that He can communicate it back to us with an answer. It's not always that God just sits there and says, well, I want you to do this. I want you to get in your car. I want you to go down to the stop sign, turn to the right, go down to Till, turn to the right, go down to Bassward. You know, like, we've got to have real specific things from God. And even though He can answer like that, sometimes He just wants to speak one word that He could totally change your life with. One word like forgive. I mean, my goodness, what would that do to families, to the body of Christ, to wounded and hurt people, if we, every one of us, repented, got before the Lord, called to Him, and said, Lord, forgive us. And then have those that have aught against us forgive us. What would that do to the kingdom of God? It's the same thing with another word, a little bitty word, as simple as give. Can you imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God and for one another and for the kingdom's sake and in the name of the Lord if we would give? Oh, I wouldn't even want to use the word tithe, because half of us would just probably flip if we thought we really were going to have to start that today. Now, those of us that, you know, that tithe and give, we don't usually have a problem when this kind of subject comes up. You know, it's usually the ones that are struggling with tithing that have a problem when pastors stand in the pulpit and start talking about giving and tithing. It's those that are not tithing that usually have a problem with that. It's the ones that feel like the pastor's always asking for money and there's something wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's our, you know, we get to. It's not that we have to. We get to tithe. We get to give. We get to sow. But you know what? We get to reap too. And I think that's the beautiful transaction that the Lord gives us. You give, Jan, you're going to get. And do we give to get? No. But I'm telling you, there's a spiritual law in that. So I want to encourage those of you that are not tithing. I don't even know how I got off on this, but by the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know that if you're not tithing, then maybe there's some things you can cut out. Maybe going to Starbucks every morning and getting your $5 cup of coffee would be a good start. Now, is there anything wrong with going to Starbucks and getting coffee? No. But it is if you're not tithing. Is there anything wrong with going to the movie and out to eat? No, but it is if you're not tithing. There are some real basic things that you could cut out of your budget and begin to, you know, kind of bring it together and kind of add it up and then give it to the Lord what it's due Him. And it's not like we have to pay, and that kind of makes it sound like we have dues to be a member of some kind of elite club. No, you don't have to pay dues to be in the church. But I tell you what, we do have some duties. We have some obligations. We have some things that we should be doing out of love and respect for the Lord, because it is for our own benefit. God set spiritual laws into being, and giving and tithing are certainly one of the things. So when we say that we can't do it, well, here's a great opportunity for you to call to Him. He'll answer you and show you how you can. And then He'll show you great and mighty things. And the great and mighty things will be that you're not bound to that spirit of mammon. Wouldn't that be awesome if money no longer controlled our life? If money didn't interfere with our lives, because so many times strife comes in a marriage over finances. We've heard that and we know that, and many of us have experienced that. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome to be free of strife over money? When you're tithing and giving, then God's going to give back to you. Pressed down, running over, is man going to give into your bosom? Isn't that something? Spiritual law that God already has in place. And that's a place that you can start calling out to Him. Lord, help me to be a good steward over my finances. Man, another area you could call out to Him is say, Lord, I don't pray like I should. Start calling out to Him and say, Lord, show me, answer me, help me organize my day, that I have time for prayer and fellowship with you. Call to him. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Maybe you just need to call out to the Lord of how to improve, improving communication. Just improving communication with your wife, with your friends, with your children, with your coworkers. Maybe you're having a problem at work with your boss and you can't get along with them and nothing satisfies her and you just can't seem to get a promotion and ahead in business. Have you called to the Lord? Have you even asked him questions about how can you change something about you? What could you learn? How could you grow? What could you, you know, what could you give back to the company? How could you improve the relationship and communication skills that you might need? Maybe you need to just pray for your boss and it's nothing about you, but you still need to call to him and let him show you and answer you and see the great things that he could change. He literally can move heaven and earth on your behalf. I've watched him in my own life change things that I could not change. I've seen him do miracles in relationships. I've seen him restore my life in so many areas. My relationships, my love, my broken heart. I've just seen him do such great things. And it's because I've learned to call to him. Again in Jeremiah, he says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Mighty things that he wants to show us. I'd like to read you that same verse in the Message Bible. It says, while Jeremiah was still locked up in jail, a second message from God was given to him. This message is God's message. The God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God, says, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. Isn't that great? There are things that we will never figure out on our own and nobody else can help us either. There are just some things that you need answers to that your friend, your wife, your pastor, and your best friend cannot help you find the answer to. I think that's awesome. I know that a lot of times that we have the best intentions, you know, to figure it out and try to be big girls and boys about it, especially if we're grown, you know, we're trying to be real mature about making decisions and being empowered to know what to do. And, you know, a lot of times we base it on our past experience. So we think we're going to try it all over again because it worked once. It's going to work again. Not necessarily. We always need to take it before the Father because he might do something new, totally unexpected, totally out of character for him and certainly could be doing something that we would have never thought of. It said right there in the Message Bible, he said, I'll show you things that you would never figure out on your own. So when we start out to have the best intentions, the Lord told me when I was meditating on this, he said, Jen, I don't want you to have the best intentions. I want your attention. You know, we have intentions. God's needing our attention. And the way we can get there and get his attention and he can get our attention is by calling out to him so that he can answer us and show us and tell us many great things. I know that there's going to be some more that I want to share with you about, call to me. There's going to be a part two to this. And so I just kind of want to close it up and wrap it up right now for this, part of the teaching. I kind of got off on some things I didn't know I was going to get off on and, you know, I didn't know I was going to talk about money. Didn't know I was going to talk about tithing. But I think that the Lord wants us to stop and think about the things that we're asking, the things that we're doing. What can we change? How we can change our life? How can we kind of get more in line to what he's wanting us to do? And how can we walk in his holiness? And how can we, just do the things that we know to do? The simple things in our Christian walk are the things that we need to do day in and day out. And so as I wrap this up, I want to thank you for coming to the website. I hope that this has ministered to you. I know that the second part is going to. And so thank you for joining us. And we'll get into part two when you join us back the next time. God bless you and have a great time in prayer as you call out to the Father.